Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
All right, so we're looking at sloth today. And the whole purpose, obviously, of our seven deadly sins is we've been talking about the idea that we replace one of the deadly sins with an opposing virtue. So we're trying to, in that kind of replacement style ministry where we're looking at pride being replaced with humility, envy being replaced with kindness, gluttony with self-control, anger with patience, greed with generosity, which Phil talked about last week, and we launched those initiatives that he shared about. And today we're looking at sloth and replacing it with the opposing virtue of diligence. And the whole purpose in this is that although some of these kind of deadly sins as such might not seem like such a massive deal to begin with, when they sit in your life and they take root in your life and they begin to spread through your life, it becomes a real issue. I kind of liken it. I got bitten by a whitetail a few years ago, and I didn't really know it was a whitetail. I just knew that I'd been bitten on the bottom of my foot by a spider, and that's okay. I was landscaping at the time, so it happened a lot. And most of the time, just a little blister or a bit of an itch, and then it was okay. But this one just didn't really go away in any great hurry, and I kind of was really itchy and it was quite sore, and so I did what we all do and we just ignore it and hope it goes away. And it didn't, so I scratched at it and picked at it for a while. It still didn't go away. And then I began to notice this big kind of blistery lump on the bottom of my foot began to spread slowly out up into my ankle and then slowly up my leg and then kind of got to around my knee region, and then it kind of kept going, and I kept saying to my head, it's got to stop soon. This is ridiculous. It's got to stop. I mean, honestly, when it got to the inside of my boxer shorts, I went, I'm going to the doctors. This is really starting to freak me out. And the doctor suggested that just leaving it for a month, not the best option. And so he gave me some, you know, antibiotics, and apparently that cleared it up, and, you know. Sin is kind of like that, and these deadly sins are kind of like that, is they just start off small, but if we don't deal with them, they spread. And they have the potential to cause incredible damage. Some of you are just stuck on that, aren't you? What was that idiot doing? Why didn't he go to a doctor? It was stuff he's... So we're looking at sloth, and sloth is the avoidance of physical or spiritual work. The opposing virtue of sloth is diligence. In the Bible, it kind of uses the word idol instead of sloth, and not as in idol as in we shouldn't worship another idol, but idol as in I-D-L-E, not moving. So kind of we're talking about like that concept of like a car that's just sitting on the road, it's turned on, it's just ticking away, it's wasting resources, it's putting out pollution, it's not going anywhere, it's not serving any great purpose, it's just sitting there, it's just idle. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to read a scripture from there. So I'm actually going to start in verse 6. So this is written by Paul, and it's written to the church, and it's pretty strongly worded. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command with the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from any Christian who lives in idleness and doesn't follow the tradition of hard work we gave to you. For you know that you ought to follow our example. We were never lazy when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so that we would not be a burden to any of you. It wasn't that we didn't have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted you to have an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this rule, whoever doesn't work shouldn't eat." And here we are in verse 11. "Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and wasting time in meddling in other people's business. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we appeal to such people. No, we command them, settle down and get to work. Earn your own living. And I say to the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never ever get tired of doing good." So it's some fairly strongly worded comments from Paul about this whole topic of idleness. I think if we were, and sloth, like if we were to look at the list of things like pride and gluttony and anger and lust, and like, and you went, which is the least deadly of all of those sins, we'd probably rank sloth somewhere towards the bottom, I reckon, because it's kind of nothing, isn't it? Like, it's a bit lazy. It doesn't really do anything. It's just sitting around. Like, it doesn't seem that deadly. But if we look at sloth, I'm going to start a campaign today to move sloth up the list. Sloth for PM of the Deadly Sins Club, I say. Because sloth is a form of indifference. And like Colleen said, it's been said that the greatest enemy of love is not hate but indifference. And so there's this incredibly, incredibly dangerous sin of sloth that when we get into a pattern of idleness in our life, it has some really serious consequences. Because basically it says that in your relationships or in your study or in your work or in your walk with God, I don't really care. I don't care enough to act. I don't care enough to do anything. And when we have a struggle with sloth, whether that's with our whole life or in a particular area, there's some really serious consequences. The motto of the sloth is, why put off today what you can put off tomorrow? So I want to briefly look at just the five deadly consequences of struggling with sloth, and then I want to spend a bit of time looking at how we replace that, how we practically go about getting our butts off the couch in whatever area of our life that we struggle with idleness. So the first deadly consequence of sloth is that it leads to despair. From the outside, sloth just looks like laziness. It's far more deadly than laziness because it leads to indifference, which leads to despair. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give a rich and satisfying life. One of the biggest tools Satan uses to rob us of our joy in our life is this idea of sloth, this idea of idleness, this idea of indifference, that we don't really care. We're not really fussed either way. It's like the switch in your heart gets just flicked off and we say, I don't really care anymore. Sloth can be caused by a delusionment with life. Maybe something's happened that's triggered it and you kind of have lost faith, you've lost hope. It can be a trigger or it can be linked into depression. It starts off with just an attitude that if we don't change it, if we don't deal with it, creates a lifestyle of idleness and a lifestyle of sloth. Slothfulness. That's going to be a ripper all morning like that, isn't it? It's going to be good. Idleness. It'll steal your joy and it'll rob you of the joy that life can and should bring. So the first deadly consequence of sloth is that it leads to despair. It leads to a lack of hope. It leads to disillusionment. The second thing is it leads to financial hardship. It leads to inaction, a lack of drive, a lack of desire, a determination, or a lack of accomplishment. Maybe it means that you don't go for that promotion because you can't really be bothered. Maybe it means you don't even bother going for the job. And we're not saying that if you're in a financially tight position, it's because you're struggling with sloth. But one of the consequences of sloth is it leads to financial hardship. The Bible's really clear about that. In Proverbs 19:15, it says, lazy people sleep soundly, but idleness leaves them hungry. And if we look at the opposing virtue of diligence, maybe a better way to look at it is, whether you have a lot or a little money, are you being diligent with it? Are you being a wise steward with the finances that you have now? Because if you can comfortably say, yes, I am being diligent, then you're not struggling with the area of sloth in your finances. But if you're not being diligent, then maybe it's something that you need to look at addressing, because their opposite virtue is diligence. The third deadly consequence of sloth is missed opportunities. Never do today what you can put off for another. Slothful people don't take the opportunities that are presented to them. They don't take the opportunities that God puts before them. They just can't be bothered. They don't aggressively pursue anything. They just kind of sit and wait. It'll be okay. It'll just come. It's all good. Can't be bothered. God puts some incredible opportunities in front of you if you look for them. If you're looking and you go into your day with eyes that would say, God, where are the windows of opportunity that you are presenting me? Maybe it's in work. Maybe it's in an opportunity to speak about who God is and what he means for you. Maybe it's about developing a friendship. Maybe it's about a promotion. Whatever it may be, God puts incredible opportunities in front of us, and we need to look for them because he's going to provide those windows of opportunity. Slothful people look back at their life and just regret the opportunities they should or could have taken. And I don't know about you, but I don't largely live my life with many regrets. There's not many times that I would say, oh, I wish I had have, you know, apart from a few speeding fines and things like that, where I wish I had maybe slowed down a little bit. But there's not many times in my life I can confidently say where I go, wow, I really missed an opportunity there, where I didn't pursue something. And I think it would be an incredibly sad way to live your life if you got to the end of your days and you looked back and you looked at all of these things that you could have maybe done. Don't live a life like that. Don't live a life of missed opportunities. The fourth consequence is broken relationships. Proverbs 18:9 says, a lazy person is as bad as one who destroys things. Slothful people aren't there for their friends, for those significant relationships that they have. They're generally fairly apathetic and self-absorbed. They're not very aware of what's going on around them. They're not going to leap to aid to help you. A slothful person is not someone you want as a friend. And whether that's maybe pursuing a new friendship, or whether it's just developing one that already exists. One of the deadly consequences of sloth is that you struggle to develop any significant relationships because you don't care enough to do anything for another person. You're so wrapped up in your own idleness. And the last deadly consequence is, before we look at how we move out of that area of slothfulness, the last one is boredom. Proverbs 19:4 says, lazy people take food in their hand but can't even be bothered lifting it to their mouth. Never, ever had that problem. It's just like, nah. Slothfulness makes us incapable of being stimulated by anything good, anything beautiful, anything exciting. The great danger of slothfulness, the great danger of this idea of boredom, is it's often in those times of boredom, it's often in our times of idleness that temptation seems to strike. When we're just kind of sitting around not really doing anything. When we're a bit bored, when we're a bit disillusioned, is often when some of those life-controlling issues, something like pornography example, which we're going to look at next week, those temptations seem to strike, when our hands are just idle. But understand, when we're talking about slothfulness, we're not talking about busy and being busy for the sake of being busy. Because we're not a church that wants to just have a lot of things on so that we're not just, so there's always something to do. We're not interested in pursuing that. God doesn't ask us to just be busy for the sake of being busy. And we believe so strongly that there needs to be times of structured rest and relaxation. You need to go away on holidays. You need to sit and read a book. There's times where you just need to chill out. I'm potentially in danger of being slothful in the area of relaxation, where I don't do that very well, where I just don't sit down and I don't relax very much. But God calls us to, what about when God just talks about just resting in his presence and just meditating in him and just taking that time out to be refreshed and be relaxed? We don't want to be busy for the sake of being busy. That isn't what this is talking about. We're talking about the deadly sin of sloth, which robs us of our joy. It means we no longer want to pursue the plans that God has for us in our life. Mentioned before, one of the greatest tragedies is someone who's given up hope, someone who's living in despair. They've given up hope for their life and hope for the plans that God has for them. So if we're not going to be slothful and we're going to be diligent, how do we practically go about doing that? Let's look at a few things. So the first way to conquer sloth is to search, identify, and identify the areas in your life where this might take place. So where and in what areas does this sin already have a bit of a hold for you guys? Where am I bored? Where have I lost my passion? In what areas of my life am I not being diligent? In what areas of my life am I kind of just being idle and kind of just cruising on by? If I was to look at my life a year ago as compared to now, have I grown in those areas? Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts." In what areas of my life am I just going through the motions? So I thought I'd just look at kind of five quick areas that potentially we have the ability just to slip into that pattern of idleness and slothfulness in. Does anyone else, when I talk about slothfulness, think about that guy from Ice Age that just, yeah, we all there? Sid the Sloth. I'm glad we've all got that mental picture. So what about relationships? I heard it and it really challenged me. I was reading somewhere and it talked about relationships are either growing and developing or they're dying. There's no in between. That was a real challenge for me with my marriage. Like, how often do I just kind of, because I'm so busy pursuing other things, do I maybe just let that area just lie a little bit idle? Luckily, Holly's not here to answer that, so I'll say not very often on her behalf. Don't ask her afterwards. No, but like, are we actively, for those of us that are married, are we actively developing our marriage? One of the things we believe in, and one of the things that, you know, like Phil and it's always kind of beaten into me, is this idea that we need to have a date night, a night where it's not for the kids, it's not for anyone else, it's just a night for Holly and I as such to go into development, hang out, and, you know, because that relationship needs to keep growing, because if it's not growing, it's dying. What about with our friends? Especially our non-Christian friends. When was the last time you invested the time and the energy into developing a friendship outside of the walls of the church? Physically, are we slothful? Are we idle with our body? Are you out of shape? Are you overweight? And I understand we all don't work in a gym and we're not all called to, you know, look like Ben Snell and, you know, run around with our shirts off. Wow. Troy. But we have a responsibility to look after our bodies. We're called to look after our bodies. We're called to be diligent and look after our physical bodies as well as our spiritual ones. So it doesn't actually take a lot of time. To make a significant difference to your health and fitness takes four blocks of half an hour. It's 2 hours in a week. That's it. That's not a lot. Maybe it just takes a little bit of effort just to shut your mouth sometimes and not keep popping food in it. They say in Australia, we eat 30% too much a day. That's a lot, people. 30%. It's almost a third if you can't figure it out. So think about how much you eat, chop a third out of it, that's probably what you should eat. Enough said. But are you being diligent with your health and with your well-being? What about financial? We're not expecting handouts, we're talking about being diligent with our finances. Whatever you have, be it big or small, are you working at savings? Are you working at being a wise steward with your money? Are you budgeting? Are you being diligent with what God has already given you? Because I'm sure the Bible talks about when you're faithful with the small, He will bless you with more. And that applies to all areas of our life, including our finances. What about work? Do you have a slothful attitude when you show up to work on a Monday morning? A bit tired, big weekend. Bit hard, you know, mope around a bit weary. Are you really applying that scripture where God talks about whatever you put your hand to, do it with all your might. Do it with excellence. Like, you guys have got to realize that when you go into your workplace, you're representing Jesus. And I'm pretty sure that Jesus would have worked hard. Whatever it was that he was doing, whether he loved the job or whether he hated it is kind of irrelevant because you're representing Jesus. I used to work for a bunch of guys who were ran a big landscaping company, and I went and had a little interview with them for a job, and It was all going really, really smoothly until they found out I went to church. And their experience, because they were Christians as well, their experience over 20 years of running a business that had employed over 800 people was that the laziest people were Christians. That's disgraceful. And none of them were you, so it's okay. But just in general, that was their perception. And in talking to a few Christian people that own businesses, they find the same thing. We should be the hardest working, the most diligent, have the best attitude, look for opportunities to do more, not to be a yes person and not to be taken advantage of, but our attitude and who we are is a reflection of our Creator.
Yeah, that's good.
What about spiritually? Maybe once you were really excited about God and the things that He had in store for you, and now, not so much. When we get bored, with God, we get bored with life, we get bored with everything. Because everything that's good, everything that's productive and beautiful is from God. He is the source of good. So when spiritually we get bored, everything else is going to follow. The excitement should come from that relationship we have with God. Where does God fit into your priorities? Is your relationship with God idle? I'm not interested in having an idle church with idle people sitting in it. We're interested in having a church that's constantly growing and constantly developing. And it's constantly growing and developing because all of us as the church are constantly growing and developing. I don't know about you, but I'm sure that I haven't experienced all that God has for me. The Bible says that God is amazing and limitless and unbelievable. And I've experienced just like a tiny speck of what He has and who He is. But the only way to experience more is for me to pursue that. I can't sit on my butt on the couch and just go, God, here I am. Just, you know, when you're ready, God, I'll be here. I've got to do the things that I need to be doing. I need to be diligent in my spiritual walk. The same way that if I want to pursue whatever it is with my physical body, I need to train it. We need to do that with our spiritual body. In fact, Paul talks about the fact that spiritual training is more important than physical training if we're not looking after our spiritual person. Then we're missing the point. Where we invest our time shows us where our priorities are. Phil kind of touched on this. Can't make time to read and pray, but we can find time to watch telly. Phil shared the horrible statistic about how many hours of telly we all watch, and we look at, you know, somewhere between 3 and 4 hours a day on average, they say Australians watch telly. So just for one second, have a think. How many days you can't find time to read your Bible and pray, but you can find time to watch 2 or 3 hours of telly? Have you spent more time in the last month on Facebook or on actually seeking God's face? A bit lonely up here, I've got to be honest right now. I was going to have a crack about MasterChef and stuff as well, but I'll leave that alone. Hey?
Not allowed to do that.
Right. What about even how much time we invest into training our physical bodies? There's a danger there that we spend so much time investing in our physical body, making that look buff, that our spiritual person's just growing weak and fat and apathetic and kind of listless and useless. So where we invest our time shows us where our priorities are. Are you aggressively pursuing the things of God, or are you idle? Have you developed your relationship with God from this point on? If you would go 12 months back, would you go, I've grown in God, or am I just kind of floating around in the midst of roughly where I was? Harsh but true. You need to understand the eternal significance of where God has put you now. God has an incredible plan for your life. He's put you in the place that you are in now. Start looking, like we said before, don't have missed opportunities. Start looking for the opportunities wherever you are now for God to use you. Because if you are looking for them, they will be there. And you will go, wow, I wonder how many times I've missed it. Because they will be there. God will provide the opportunities. Sloth deadens my ability to experience God's presence and God's purpose. Understand this, and it will help you overcome that sense of hopelessness and despair. That wherever you are, whatever relationships you have currently, look for those opportunities that God's placing in you. The second way to overcome sloth is to see the beauty and the good things that God has created. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I like to think about it like this: garbage in, garbage out. If you put good stuff in, you'll get good stuff out. If you put crap in, you'll get crap out. It's pretty simple. Paul's advice is simple: fill your mind with godly things. If you're struggling with boredom, if you're struggling with slothfulness, if you're struggling with idleness in an area of your life, practically start to fill your mind with godly things. Start listening to a bit more worship music. Start reading the Bible a bit more. Spend some more time in prayer. Listen to some podcasts. Start just cramming good stuff in, and you'll see good stuff come out. You'll see the external attitude that you have change because you're putting good stuff in. Because who we are and our attitudes and our personality and our characteristic is a reflection of what we're shoving into ourselves. The third way to overcome sloth is linked to the first one. So after we've identified the areas, we set godly goals. So once you've identified some of the areas maybe in your life that you're struggling with idleness or indifference or slothfulness, set some goals, some stuff that's specific and measurable. Maybe in your relationship, it might be that you're going to commit to having a date night once a week or once a fortnight or once a month, but you're going to commit to it and it's practical and it's measurable and you're going to work at it. What about in work? Maybe there's a course that you need to go and do and you've been putting it off because you can't really be bothered. Maybe you should go for that promotion. Maybe you should start putting in some job applications. Spiritually, maybe it's reading the Bible. You're going to commit to 5 minutes a day to start with of just reading your Bible. Spend every day. You're going to spend 5 minutes in prayer. I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours. We're just talking about making a start and diligently working at developing and moving forward in that area. Maybe financially you go, I'm going to set a budget. Never set a budget before. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write out a budget, and I'm going to try and stick to it, and I'm going to make myself accountable to someone. Maybe physically we're going to switch off the telly and go for a walk. Yeah. Or maybe we go, I'm not going to eat after dinner. Because after I've eaten 14 kilos of pasta, I probably don't need that bowl of ice cream. Just a little something just to tide me over while I'm asleep because I'm burning so much energy in my sleep. Proverbs 6, told you there's still some anger there. Proverbs 6, 9 to 11 says, but you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? I want you to learn this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. That's a cool picture, isn't it? That as you're just sitting around being idle in your life, poverty is just going to come and just mug you and take what it needs. The fourth and final thing that we need to do to overcoming sloth is fairly simple. Stop making excuses and just start. Wow. Don't wait for Monday. Don't wait for the start of the month. Do you know how many people like ring up and go, I'd like to get started with some exercise, and they ring on Wednesday and you go, okay, do you want to start tomorrow? Oh, no, I thought I might start Monday. Apparently that's the international day for starting stuff. Heaven forbid you started something on a Thursday. Or, oh, no, I've got to have the weekend. What if you just stop making excuses today, right now, and you just started? There's a guy I train, and 2 weeks ago, his goal was to do 3 runs a week. 2 weeks ago, he couldn't do it because it was too cold. Last week, too wet. So in those 3 weeks a year in Melbourne that we have, that's fine, and 22, he's going to be flying. Apart from that, on the couch. Proverbs 22:13 says, the lazy person is full of excuses, saying, if I go outside, I might meet a lion in the street and be killed. It's pretty applicable to us today, that verse, isn't it? Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, when you wait for the perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Whatever area is in your life that you are struggling with this topic of slothfulness, understand there will never be perfect conditions, but it's okay because we have a perfect God. And we're called to do stuff in His strength, with His help. When we take those first few faithful steps, when we practically start to apply some of this stuff, He will meet you and He will be with you the whole way. Our memory verse for you guys to remember for the week is Philippians 4:19. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So my challenge for you guys out of this today is to stop making excuses and start today. To practically sit down and maybe even as I've been talking, there's been some things in your life. The fact that you're all here on a Sunday morning is a good suggestion that we're not completely struck down by the area of slothfulness. Maybe all those that aren't here should... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But maybe there's some areas that you've been challenged with. So why don't you commit them to paper? Why don't you write them down? Why don't you write out what you're going to do about them? And today, why don't you stop making excuses and just start? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord God, that you are an incredibly exciting, creative, amazing God, that you just have great plans for our life. Lord God, that you bring us joy. And Lord, right now I just pray for anybody here who's just struggling with that area of slothfulness, that in all of their life or part of their life, Lord God, there is this restriction, this idleness, Lord God, this indifference. And right now, Lord God, I just thank you that as we do what we can do, as we are diligent and we take steps forward, Lord God, that you will meet us. That verse in Philippians promises that the God of peace will be with you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you enjoyed the message. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue our series on the seven deadly sins.